Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This episode is going to be a little bit different. At the time of this recording, it is September 11th, 2019. It's been 18 years since the tragedy of 9/11. And we thought we'd just record a little episode just as a kind of a remembrance and, you know, kind of pay homage and tribute to the people that lost their lives and the people affected by the events of 9/11, which I think is a lot more than people realize. Joining me on this episode, first up, is my co-host, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's nice to be back.
Awesome. And last but not least is Kevin Deason. How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, good night here. Sad topic, but you know, it seems we're all doing well here tonight, and I'm glad to share the airwaves with you, too.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw a video on social media today, Facebook, and it was this, you know, showing, you know, 9/11, showing, you know, the different planes and you know, what happened in New York, the Pentagon, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I just kind of felt like, you know, doing a little episode just to kind of throw it out there that, you know, this was a significant event and affected, like I said, you know, more people than I think we realize. It changed the world, really, in a lot of ways. So I'm going to go around the table and ask you guys, where were you on 9/11, and what are some things that you remember from that time? For myself, I had just finished working a night shift at a sawmill that I used to work at, and I was driving home, and the radio station that I used to listen to back then, which no longer exists now, you know, they had this news story about this plane flying into the World Trade Center and stuff. And to be honest with you, I didn't know if it was a joke or what was going on, because, you know, this radio station did that, you know, on occasion where they would do a practical joke and they, you know, and some of their humor was a little questionable at times. But before I went back to my place, I stopped at my mom's place, and she was home from work that day, and she was watching the news, and yeah, she said, yeah, like, there's, you know, the one tower of the World Trade Center had been hit at that point. And then as we're watching it, that's when we saw the second plane fly in, and it was, you know, the realization that this wasn't, you know, because at first, everyone thought it was just an accident, that something happened, there was a malfunction on the plane, and it just, you know, flew into, I mean, they were very tall buildings. But then when we saw that second plane, we realized, oh shit, something's happening. You know, like, this is not an accident. This is deliberate. There's something going on. And I, you know, because I had to work the next night, too, like, that evening. So I stayed up later than I normally did. I stayed up till probably 10 in the morning watching the news. I watched the towers go down. And then, of course, after that, like, you know, when I woke up and, you know, it dominated the news, it dominated talk at work. And, yeah, it was just, you know, one of those experiences, you know, it's kind of like, I was thinking, like, it's kind of like, you know, it was like Pearl Harbor or, you know, Normandy. You know, it was one of these, it was the Hindenburg. It was one of these life-changing moments, you know, like, where people will remember this for the rest of life, where, you know, some innocence was lost that day. You know, like, you know, eventually, at the time we didn't know what was going on, so we've, you know, later found out, you know, about the people involved, you know, and up until that point, like, terrorism wasn't really common here. Like, it wasn't, you know, like, by here, I mean North America. And then it became real, You know, like it was always something that took place in the Middle East, and you didn't really think about it, but now it was here. And yeah, it was, you know, like I said, you know, earth-shattering, you know, incident that shook this whole planet to its core. Jason, I'll throw it to you. What were you doing that day, and what are your remembrances?
Well, there's a small lighthearted joke tied to it. To the day before, me and my dad had gone to my grandparents because they had a huge ant problem. And so we went around, treated everything in their house and whatnot, and, you know, try to get rid of all the ants and everything else. And my grandma was very frantic about it, you know, she just didn't like it. So we did that, then we had to go into work late at night. And by the time we got back, it was about, like, you know, 5-6 in the morning. So me and my dad were asleep. And the phone was ringing that morning, like early in the morning. I want to say it was definitely before 11. And I picked it up half awake and just trying to, like, figure it out and whatnot. And it was my grandma. And she's, like, completely frantic over the phone, just, like, screaming. Like, I couldn't understand what she was saying.
Yeah.
But all I can make out was, like, she was saying that, like, we're being attacked. We're being attacked. In my half-awake state, I'm like, are the ants attacking you? Like, what? You know, so yeah. I'm groggy trying to figure it out, and I couldn't understand her. She just kept saying that. So I just I grabbed my dad, and I'm like, talk to your mother. I cannot understand her. You know, and so I went and crawled back into bed. And then a few minutes later, my dad walks in and grabs me, and he's like, no. And he has the TV on, and he shows me, and no, it's
yeah.
We're being attacked. And so we're watching the full-on building, people freaking out. And then all of a sudden, yeah, that second plane just comes in. And at that point, it was just kind of like, I remember the neighborhood. There was always some type of noise going on, mm-hmm. cars or whatever. It was, you can hear a pin drop.
Yep.
And it was just stone. It was like, I remember later on, you know, we kind of composed ourselves and stuff like that. And we got hungry, went out to go eat. There was no one out. We went to a local restaurant, and the people there, they're working and stuff. We're like the only ones there. It was just aside from the employees, you know, it was just kind of like, it was a ghost town. And this is like Ventura, California. Ventura is a pretty big city, and it was just like a ghost town, you know, and I was just kind of like, holy crap. And I remember it's like my grandpa, like he went into protective mode and stuff like that. And he knew, he's like, we're going to go to war. You know, he's just like, and he already started talking to my dad, and he's like, we got family up in Canada. He goes, I don't want Jason to go through this because he's almost of age at that time. You know, he's just like, I don't want him in the military. He goes, I understand this is horrible, but I went through World War II and I don't want him to go through this, you know? And then it's just kind of like, I was close to being shipped up to Canada just to, you know, but it was a complete whirlwind. Like everyone was just panic mode and trying to figure things out. But then I remember almost a few days later, like this wave of patriotic, like every house that didn't have an American flag before, all of a sudden everyone had an American flag.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was crazy to me. Like they were all over the place. And it's like I don't know. It's something like you said, like something switched, and then all of a sudden, like everyone kind of stopped taking things for granted all of a sudden.
Yep.
And so it was, nowadays, it's kind of a little bit, you know, it's been 18 years?
18, yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's
great. But I know, like things have kind of fallen back a little bit, but then there's still that, you know, definitely. I think the paranoia has set in a lot more than so much of anything else, but that's another conversation altogether. But yeah, I remember that quite well, and that was definitely kind of
Well, what's weird is like for me, it seems like it part of me feels like it wasn't that long ago. Like I remember, like, you know, like today I was thinking back, like what I was doing that day watching the news, you know, and all that. And it just seems like it was yesterday, sort of. But at the same time, it also feels like it's a long ways away. Like it's back there with Pearl Harbor and, you know, World War II. Like it's you know, like that was a lifetime ago. And in some ways it is, you know, like my wife and I were talking about it. Like my stepson was just a baby. You know, my stepdaughter was in the womb at the time, and my daughter wasn't even born, you know, until 5 years later, you know. So in a way it was a lifetime ago. There's, you know, a lot of people now that never actually experienced that day. Kevin, I'll throw it to you now. What are your remembrances of that day?
It's really, it's a weird story, and I'm actually looking through tags on everything I've written to see if I ever, you know, wrote about it publicly or not, and it doesn't look like I have. So, again, I have to do the day before, much like Jason, to get to the day of. So I wasn't working at the time, and I'm trying to remember what jobs I was at and, you know, where I was and everything. I have a pretty good idea that I had left one job and hadn't found a new one yet. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, was early 20s, not really a rush. I happened to be living at home at the time because I'd done like a 2-year school. I'd worked. I didn't even know what I was doing next. So it was just kind of at home.
Yeah.
And this girl that I was friends with, on the 10th, we were hanging out, and she's like, tomorrow we're going to go out and we're going to do job applications all day. Then we'll go get something to eat, and then we'll do more applications, and we'll go here and do this and that. And while internet was a thing at the time, and I'll get to it day of, you didn't, like, that's how you applied for jobs then. You couldn't just do everything online like it is now, when most places, if you walk in with an application, they're going to tell you to go around home and do it online. So my natural sleep schedule, no work, no school, pre-kids, is like 2 or 3 in the morning until 10 or 11. That's just what I will naturally fall into.
Yep.
So I stayed up till like 2 or 3, and my mom had left for work, I don't know, 7, 8 in the morning. Phone rings. I was like, oh my God, it's this girl waking me up to drag me out of the house. I don't want to. I don't want to hang out with her. I don't want to do applications today. I don't want to do anything. I want to be, you know, 20-something years old and lazy.
Yep.
Phone rings again, phone rings again, phone rings again. And I'm thinking it's her. So I turn off the ringer. So I end up finally crawling out of bed sometime between 10 and 11. I'm all groggy. The phone's been turned off. I turn it back on. Nothing for a little while. I go online. I turn on TV. Computer and TV are right next to each other. They're at the time. Whatever channel I left it on at night was still on. And it was something like Cartoon Network, Sci-Fi, something like that. At this point in the day, every channel other than a news channel had their little graphic up. Due to today's events, we are no longer playing any programming today. Or like, we're suspending programming today. Anything other than a channel that had a news organization, so your networks and your 24-hour news channels, mm-hmm. Everyone else was silent for the day. And I think the next day, too, I think it took a while. So I turned it on. I thought, due to today's events, what the heck? And it's only one channel so far that I'm seeing. So I, honest to God, thought it was like, you know, that someone had died that was influential to that channel. Like if it was Cartoon Network or TBS or something, like, oh, maybe Ted Turner died last night. So, you know, they're not going to play anything on the channel today for him. I mean, who could have imagined what actually happened until it happened? So I go on, of all things, AOL at the time, an AOL instant message. And now I'm flipping through. I'm like, why is there anything on TV? I still have no idea what's going on. I finally get to something, and by now all you're seeing is pillars of smoke. And so AOL instant message is up and running, and I write, I'll get into it later. I don't want any attitude, but what the hell is happening? And one of my friends, there's friends for years then, friends still now, he writes, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, I just woke up. What the hell is going on? So he said, I'm going to call you. I'm like, all right. So now I turn the phone on. He calls me, catches me up. And I don't think I fell asleep for like 3 days after, because I just had to watch it. So I've seen everything since. It's almost like I have this weird guilt in a way that I wasn't watching it when it happened with most other people. So I have found, you know, there's lots of, because all the morning shows were going on at the time, most of which take place on New York City. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of them, you have this live, almost play-by-play, everyone's thoughts in the moment. And yeah, the craziest thing is every single person, and as I was rewatching the day, you know, as it happened, every single person, when you hear a plane flew into one of the towers, everyone thought it was like that little twin engine one that went to the Empire State Building in what, the 30s or 40s? Mm-hmm. You know, thinking it was something like that. And it wasn't, I don't think it was till like a day or two later that that documentary crew said, we have footage of the first plane. And there was the, no one had that yet. No one had seen anything.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, this is, we didn't, yeah, we had phones, yeah, we had internet, but not like it is now. So you had all this stuff trickle out as people realized that, you know, their security camera captured something, or their, you know, a camera in their apartment captured something, and everyone's just like throwing these videos out to the world. And it was funny how Jason was saying going out and it being a ghost town. I can't even remember. I don't even know if I went anywhere. I think I just said like a day or two later, I just have to not be in front of the TV for like 5-10 minutes. I just have to walk away. And so I got up and I went outside, and no one was still outside yet. Like, no one was doing anything. Everyone just walking, you know, you didn't even see anyone to see how they were reacting. So every so often a car would go by, but it seemed like even driving was different. Everything sounded different. And I think when I left the house, my intention was I'm going to get something to eat, or a soda at least. Like, I just wanted to take a walk and go somewhere. I made it a couple blocks and said, I can't. Because it just feels dumb to do anything else right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect anyone else to be working right now. I know people were, but I'm like, I'm intruding if I go into a store. Like, no one should have to be at work right now. And I grew up, as I've said on here before, in upstate New York, but far upstate, like closer to Canada than to New York City. But it's still close enough that you know people there, and you do visits and you do trips and you go to, you know, games or shopping or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And so everyone had stories and memories and all. But I mean, like, when you're talking about the patriotism following it, if George W. went on TV that night or the next day and said, I want every able-bodied American down at the recruitment center tomorrow, it would have happened. There wouldn't have been a doubt. There wouldn't have been a question. Everyone would have walked down immediately, which is absurd to think now, with, you know, just how many splits and fractions or factions and everything there are. But everyone would have gone down and signed up next day and been like, we're going to war. Rosie Riveter would have been, you know, pumping away at everything. War Machine, you know, I mean, you see like Looney Tunes cartoons from World War II era with buy bonds and support the troops and, you know, recycle this and ration that and all. And I felt like on the 12th, I was like, that's what's about to happen now. I honestly did. I thought that's where everything in life was going. Mm-hmm. And one of the craziest things, especially with, you know, time, if that year, and it wasn't because it was 2001, but in September, if that November happened to be an election year, Giuliani would have become president of the United States in the biggest sweep in the country's history. Not a doubt in my mind.
Yep.
Whatever Giuliani is now, in that day, in that moment, he looked like the president. He's the mayor of the city. But in that moment, the rest of the country probably would have said, is that the president of the United States? Like, because that's how he looked. That's what he seemed like at the time. To his credit, no, I'm not knocking that by any means. But it's just, it's so weird how everything changed in the moment, but how everything has kind of settled down and changed since. Like, it's 18 years. Anyone in high school, anyone in school right now wasn't born.
Yep. It's
absurd to think that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Me missing it, I feel like the person that when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan said, I don't want to watch this, and switched to like a repeat of Gunsmoke.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that. But I mean, it's not your fault. You're sleeping, you know. I probably would have missed it myself if I hadn't stopped in at my mom's. Because like I said, like I was hearing things on the radio, but I thought they were just making a bad joke or something. Like I was like, I can't remember if it was you or Jason that said it, that, you know, I thought it was just a little plane. You know, like I had no idea it was like a big, you know, commercial airliner that flew in there. Like I would have went to sleep too. Like if I hadn't stopped in at my mom's. But, you know, we're doing this episode as kind of just a quick remembrance and whatnot. We're not, like, you know, not getting into conspiracy theories or anything. Like, that could be done on another episode. Because I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories in regards to some of the other things that took place that day. But to kind of bring it back to the pop culture pub aspect of it, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, I'm not sure if I think I've done a blog post about it previously, like not on this podcast, but on a podcast, we were talking about coincidences or something. And earlier in 2001, I want to say it might have even been January 2001, there was an X-Files spinoff called The Lone Gunman that premiered on Fox, which follows those characters, the Lone Gunman characters from the X-Files. And, you know, I watched that episode number one, or that series from the first episode, because I really like those characters. The pilot episode, the very first episode, the plot centered around... of course, you know, with this being the Lone Gunman, it was a government conspiracy. A government agent or agency, I can't remember which, basically hacked into a commercial jumbo jet's computer system, and was actually attempting to fly it into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. This is January 2001. When this episode premiered. And, you know, of course, in the episode, the Lone Gunman hack the hackers, and, you know, they save, you know, they put the controls back to the pilot, and the pilot's able to swerve away from the tower, and everyone's saved, and it's a happy ending. But I remember when 9/11 happened, when this was happening at my mom's house, I turned to my mom and I said, this is like episode one of The Lone Gunman. And I actually went and grabbed the videotape, and yeah, it was unreal. Like, I can't believe that, you know, the coincidence that, you know, this episode premiered, and then like 9 months later, you know, it's kind of happening for real. Only, you know, in real life it was hijackers, not hackers. And unfortunately, you know, as I was saying, you know, things changed after that, and, you know, the events of 9/11 and so on and so forth. The Lone Gunman was canceled. Not that it was, you know, doing stellar ratings, you know, when it was on or anything, but I really think at that time, because like you guys had mentioned about the patriotism and so on, you know, shows like the X-Files and, you know, the government conspiracy type of shows kind of went by the wayside for a while. Like, there was just absolutely no interest in that anymore. And rightfully so. You know, like, you know, we, you know, the United States and the world, you know, really came together in a lot of ways because of 9/11. But anyway, I think we'll call this an episode, guys. Unless you guys have something you guys want to share before we end this.
No, can't think of anything.
All right. Well, like I said, like, this isn't our regular episode. Like, if this is the first time you listening to this right now, typically we do plugs and stuff at the end of the episode, but this one we're not going to. We're just going to end this episode right now, and, you know, just to, and on the note that our thoughts and prayers are with, you know, the family and the friends and families of those involved in what happened that day, and, you know, the first responders and everyone that, you know, did heroic things that day. You know, it, like I said, the September 11th, 2001 changed the world as we know it, and, you know, on this episode, we are remembering that time.